The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill.
I have a very special guest on the show today. In his profession, he's a real estate agent working on a top producing team at Sotheby's in Beverly Hills. But behind the scenes, he's the father to my children, my husband, and my best friend. I've mentioned him plenty of times before, and today I finally welcome Garrett Carter into the hot seat at Ready, Set, Spill. Kaylin, do you know when the lie detector guy's coming? We're putting you on a lie detector.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm just
Jake. We're going to have words after this.
Okay, so have you ever listened to my podcast before?
Oh, wow, you're really throwing me into the deep end real quick.
That's not even the first, that's not even the a question that's on the script.
Once or twice, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Do you know that I start with icebreakers?
Yeah.
Okay, well, lucky you. You get to have, instead of six icebreakers.
Who wrote these questions?
You'll never know. It
wasn't
me.
This is your secret way of getting back at me.
I didn't write these. I swear to God. Okay. Are you nervous for this recording?
Yeah, a little bit. I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. So I apologize in advance. This could be really bad.
What would your job be if you worked at Set?
Ooh. That's a good question. My job at Set, it would definitely be something in the men's department, maybe fitness related of testing the new clothing line, you know?
So you want to be a product tester?
Yeah.
That doesn't really exist.
Well, hey, you just asked me what I wanted to do. Maybe we can create a new role.
Okay. What is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve is people who aren't genuine. I don't like people who are fake. I think that's one of the reasons why I love you so much is you wear your heart on your sleeve and you tell it like it is and there's no guessing. So
yeah,
that's,
no guessing
with you.
What's my biggest pet peeve?
Being late.
Did I win?
Did I get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's when you're late. That's exactly right. What's one, oh God, I don't know if I want to hear the answer to this. What's one thing you wish you could burn from my closet?
Burn from your closet. Those big chunky, they're like the Chanel slides, right?
Oh, the Prada loafers.
They're,
you want me to burn them?
They're terrible. I love you, but they're terrible. I know they're stylish, but
they're not going anywhere.
Okay, I know.
Just to let you know.
I figure as much. But
and what is your favorite thing about me?
Oh, just one thing. There's so many. It's hard to.
I think he's putting on an act just for the podcast, you guys. I don't know what's going on.
My favorite thing about you is how compassionate you are for other people. You put other people ahead of yourself.
Still? I feel like I've been so selfish this year.
A little bit. You're pregnant. It's okay. So you have an excuse for now, for at least two more months. And then,
right.
And then you got to change the
And
tune.
Then it's I have a newborn. And then it's I have two toddlers. I mean,
right. And then you're
going to
throw another dog into the mix. We've already discussed
I'm
that.
I'm hoping for an oopsie
pregnancy.
You're
probably going to want another house soon. You know, just keep the chaos coming. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Okay. Well, let's start with who Garrett Carter is. Why don't you tell everyone where you grew up, about your family? Let's get the ball rolling.
All right, let's do it. So I am almost 31 years old. My birthday is next month. I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. Lived out there for most of my life. Went to school at University of Arizona, which is where I met the lovely Lindsay sitting across from me. I have one younger brother. His name is Grady. He still lives back in Arizona. Been out here for about 7 years now. We moved out to LA.
I've lost track of all the numbers we need to keep track of.
Yeah, me too. So I've been out here for a while in real estate. I'm a real estate agent over at Sotheby's in Beverly Hills. I've been doing that for about 6 or 7 years. And, you know, that's pretty much my day to day. Big fitness guy, work out all the time. Much to Lindsay's annoyance when I have to go to the gym every day. Mediocre golfer.
I just need to clarify. It's not that I'm annoyed that you go to the gym every day. It's the time you choose to go to the gym every day.
I've tried to switch it up. Sometimes I go in the morning. Sometimes I go in the afternoon. Sometimes in the evenings. You're just never happy that I go to the gym. So
okay, moving right along. I've told our story publicly multiple times of like how we met, uh-huh. How we started dating. But in two sentences, how would you describe our relationship?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can describe it in two sentences. I think the most important thing was that we started off our relationship as friends, and that kind of blossomed into something more than just a friendship, but it really kind of laid the groundwork and kind of gave us the foundation to build, you know, something more off of. And I think that's really important. There wasn't that added pressure or stress of kind of dating. And, you know, he's still my best friend to this day. So,
guys, do we think he's acting? I mean, what's going on? This is like turning into like I Love Lindsay episode.
Hey, you know,
I have no idea what questions are coming next. So I'm scared if this is going to go south, but I'll take it for right now.
Okay.
What's your favorite thing about each other? I'll go first. Or do you want to go first?
I'm interested to see what you say, and that'll dictate my answer. How about that?
That's not fair. Okay. So I would say I actually was thinking that this question might get asked. And so I thought about it for the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think my favorite thing about you is how secure you make me feel in our relationship, especially because I like struggle so much with anxiety and just trust issues in general. I think it was like one of the first things I told you when we first started dating was, mm-hmm. I have insane trust issues, and I like never, you know, my friends tell me all the time, shout out Tess Kemper. She always says it, how hot you are. And
I can get.
I never have to worry if like, I mean, I know sometimes you call me a little nuts for asking why you're going on a walk for so long, but I never have to worry if you're going to cheat on me or if your eye's wandering. And I think that's important in relationships. So I would say that's my favorite part.
I'll take that. Is this recorded so I can play that back later at another time when you don't feel the same way?
It is a podcast.
It is a podcast. Okay, great. My favorite thing about you is that you are unapologetically yourself at all times. Again, you don't change who you are. And
are you sure you like that about me?
Sometimes. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I can appreciate that, you know, you are who you are and you don't change for other people. And that's something that I genuinely love about you.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. Well, I think these are about to get a little bit juicier.
Uh-oh.
Were there any red flags that made you hesitant in pursuing our relationship?
Any red flags? I wouldn't say red flags. Like I said, we started off as friends, so I got to really kind of see who you were without the pressures
like
of
the act.
Yeah. Without the pressures of dating. You're a very passionate person, which is good sometimes and other times not so much. But
I vividly remember the day we sat down in your room. We were in college, mm-hmm. and we knew our relationship was becoming a little bit more than friends.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the corner of your bed. I even think I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing like high top Converse and my pink dress.
I'll take your word for it.
I told you that like if this is going to progress, like I have a lot of like mental health issues.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, this is either going to make him run or it's going to make him run. And it didn't. You didn't.
Yeah. I stuck around. I'm still here almost 10 years later.
With another kid inside.
With another kid on the way.
On the way.
You can't drive me away. I don't know what else you could do.
Okay. Let's see what this next question says. How would you plan your ideal date for yourself versus for your partner?
Oh, wow. We have very different ways of enjoying our downtime. I like to do a lot of activities, you know, like maybe going for a hike, working out. Lindsay likes a little bit more of a chill vibe.
I like to lay.
Yeah, she likes to lay on the beach, lay on the couch, lay on the sofa. So for me, it would probably be something active. And for you, maybe going to see a movie, a nice dinner, you know, something kind of low key, you know, just keeping it simple.
Yeah, I feel like you nailed that on the head. I hate hiking.
I know you do.
If I'm planning a date for Garrett, I know it's going to probably include some sort of activity. Like I'd probably say, let's go to Topgolf because I could see myself enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I've gotten.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. How did you know that I was the one you wanted to marry?
This might sound cheesy, but I just couldn't imagine spending my life with anyone else besides you. I mean, like I said, we started off as friends. You were my best friend. And the thought of living my life without you was just unbearable. And
unbearable. So, wow. Yeah. You guys, this is
I'm really laying it on thick right now.
Yeah. Is it because we're on a podcast? Like, this is crazy.
But no, I just couldn't imagine not seeing you every day and you being a part of my life. And now
we barely see each other.
And now we barely see each other, which is, you know, great.
Garrett, I'll come home from work sometimes and Garrett's like, so what you've been up to? I'm like, I don't know. I'm too tired to talk.
Yeah, the only time I think we interact is about an hour before you go to bed when you're in your pajamas already at 8 o'clock at night watching Grey's Anatomy. And I think that's...
Well, I feel like that's what I love the most about our relationship is we don't put pressure to like follow the norm of what it you should do in a relationship, which is like, I mean... Listen, I'm no pro at relationships, but, you know, catch up, go on dates, mm-hmm. all of the, they, what is it called? It's like the 2-2-2. It's like every 2 weeks, go on a, I forget, whatever. Anyways, I like that, like, you don't put so much pressure on me. Like, we're so independent in our relationships, but mm-hmm. we're so secure. And I feel like that's what makes it work. That's just a thought I have.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
When did you know you wanted to propose? He didn't have a choice.
The real truth comes out.
Yeah.
No, Lindsay had given me
a... I'm willing to admit that. I gave him a timeline.
She gave me a timeline. It wasn't anything too crazy. It was... We'd been dating for, what, 5-6 years by that point in time? And it was kind of... She was expecting a proposal within the year. You didn't know exactly when it was happening or how it was happening. So I kind of at least got to have those on my own terms. And... Yeah, I was totally okay with that. I think
I did
it was,
pick out the ring.
You did. You gave me three choices, and obviously it was a trick. You know, I had to pick the biggest, most expensive ring option. I mean, but hey, you still have it. You still love it, and
that's true.
And we're still here. So,
what has been the most challenging part of being married? I would say the first year of our marriage was by far the most challenging part. I would say the second most challenging part is being parents together.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's just, you know, adapting and finding that balance. And, you know, it takes a while to kind of figure things out and get into a groove of, you know, how things work, you know, a lot of new variables. And I think now we're in a good place. Obviously, we're about to shake it up with kid number two. But, you know, if we can
get through
that.
Well, now I've learned that you're not a baby guy. I know you love Ace. Yes. Like, let me preface this.
That.
He loves Ace. You've loved Ace since the day he entered the world. I know that for sure. Yeah. But you, in terms of showing your personality to our son and your affection and different things like that, you've enjoyed as he's gotten older.
Yeah.
That's where you've, you know, really wanted to show your interest in having kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did I say that the best way possible?
I think so. I mean, you know, I guess the way I look at it is, you know, babies, yes, they're cute, but they don't really do too much. And as a dad, they really only kind of care about the mom for the first, you know, couple months or so.
We're now, still only caring about mom.
Right. A little bit about dad at this point. You know, I'm now associated with the soccer ball. He'll bring me the balls and we'll play with that. And I can roughhouse with him now without you freaking out and thinking I'm going to drop him and break his arms and legs. So
I still think you are going to do that.
Maybe one day, but I'll do my best to be careful.
I would definitely say parenting's been the hardest part, but also because... We both, you know, had interesting upbringings. Mm-hmm. We both have, you don't have issues with your dad now. He's the best. We absolutely love him, but you don't talk to your mom. I don't really talk to my dad. I don't have a mom.
Right.
And I just, like, my biggest fear, which I've told you, which was your dad's biggest fear, is that he worked too much mm-hmm. for your whole childhood. And then he realized by the time you were in college and graduated that that was a mistake and he wanted to be more present in your life. And he always pulled me aside throughout a relationship, was like, don't let Garrett do that. Don't let Garrett do that. So I'm like extra sensitive.
Yeah.
When you're working or when you're, you know, not home for bedtime or bath time, because I just immediately am like, well, he's going to just do what his dad did and not be present for Ace's life. And I know that's not the case, but it's like, because your dad told me all that information, I'm like extra triggered by it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been the hardest part is figuring out how to balance raising kids.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, it just comes with time and kind of setting aside time, you know, for relationships and for, you know, work and your kids and kind of, you know, setting aside that time and delegating, you know, a little bit of each day to kind of be a part of that. And so I think that's something that I'm getting better at doing, mm-hmm. Especially as Ace gets older and, you know, just, you know, whether it's coming home for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour and it's just me and him when you're at work or vice versa and kind of spending time with him and getting to establish that relationship so he's not always clinging to you is kind of nice.
Well, I have learned that him clinging to me means he feels safe like in general. Yeah. So I'm embracing this. I'm
enjoy
trying to
it
stay
while you can. Yeah.
I don't know how long he's going to cling
exactly.
to me. He can live with us for as long as he wants, Garrett.
We'll see. He might not feel that way when he's 18, but you know, for now, we'll allow it.
Do we know each other's love languages? This is a tough one. Mine changes every day.
Yours
I think.
Is all of them.
Yeah. That's, mine is definitely all of them.
It's everything, all of the above, answer D, check all the boxes.
Yeah. You know. It is. I do have to say mine is all of them. I don't know if that's allowed. Like, do you have to pick one? I'm not sure, but
it would make my life a little easier, but
so like sometimes I want to be affectionate. Sometimes I don't want him to touch me. Sometimes I want quality time with him. Sometimes I want him to go find friends to hang out with. Like, what are the other ones? I think it's you do acts of service and you do it well. Like, Garrett never complains if I'm like, if he comes upstairs to say hi, and I need to send you right back downstairs to get me water.
Yeah.
Your answer is always
yes. The countless egg breakfast sandwiches that I've had to make for you over the last year and
a half.
That
started when I was pregnant with Ace.
Yes.
Every
morning. Every morning. So.
Yeah. You're pretty good with the acts of service.
Words of affirmation is something that I will admit I am not the best at, which is, you know, whenever in doubt, you can listen back to this podcast and we'll just play some of the nice things that I said. And that should check that box at least.
Yeah. Garrett has, this is where we might fight live on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Garrett has anger issues. You do.
I have a short temper. I wouldn't say I have.
That is anger issues.
You make me sound like I'm aggro all the time.
I didn't say all the time, but you do have a short temper. So if you lose your patience, like there's a side of you. I'm like, whoa, I've learned to just walk away. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to leave the room and hope he apologizes when I get back.
I do.
Now you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
like I said, it ages like fine wine. You know, we get better. It's 10 years in, you know.
Okay.
Still some progress to be made, but we're on a much better
trajectory.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. We'll let you think that for now.
Perfect.
If that's what makes
you feel
better.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. When arguments arise, how do we handle them?
That's also something I think we've gotten much better at. The biggest thing is communication and knowing how each other communicate and kind of, you know, also acknowledging how the other person's feeling and kind of putting yourself in the other person's shoe. And then, you know, maybe we don't necessarily agree with each other's point of view, but at least we can kind of.
We rarely agree with each other.
Right.
We rarely agree on a lot of things.
Yes.
But I think, I mean, I'm not going to lie, we've done couples therapy.
Yeah.
Whether Garrett hates it, but we have learned a lot from it. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it in a while just because time is hard and we don't really fight that often. When you lose your temper, like, and you get a little bit mean, I just now know to walk away and like let you calm down so we can talk about things.
Yeah, go to the gym, I'll blow off some steam, we'll come back, we'll be rational and cool, calm and collected and are able to kind of sit down and talk it out.
Or explain more. Like, I'm not like, I need you to be home with Ace. I say like, I need you to be home with Ace because of this.
Exactly.
Or I try to like over communicate. Yeah. I mean, we're not perfect. We definitely still argue or, you know, we both kind of fight like we're 6 year olds and call each other names. I'm not going to lie.
You definitely know how to hit below the belt sometimes.
So do you. I'm like shocked sometimes by the things that come out of your mouth. I'm just like, I am going to let that one go through one ear and out the other.
Exactly.
And I'm going to walk away and we are going to pray that you apologize. But I think we give each other the necessary time. If Garrett realizes that he fucked up, I would say out of 10.
Or you.
It's
rarely.
Mostly you that fucks up.
Okay.
Let's be real.
All right.
I mean, come on.
Agree to disagree.
I'm pretty great.
Sometimes. Most of the time.
But when we do argue, I think you, like, what I've noticed for you and what helps you the most is the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have now learned that I need to leave the argument and walk away. And I'll leave the house or you'll leave the house. But I would say 9 out of 10 times you come back and you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Or like I said, you know, we're able to kind of cool down and have a rational conversation and kind of explain where the other person might have been coming from and find a solution. And
you make us sound so mature. We are so not like that.
You know, I'm trying to put the best foot forward for us. But, you know, I think time and just kind of taking that minute to let the emotions simmer down and come back and be adults, as you say.
Who's usually the one to apologize first?
Probably me.
Yeah, I don't really do anything wrong.
Yeah, you're perfect. You're the perfect angel that never does anything wrong.
So ever.
It's always my fault, even when it's not.
Yeah.
You know, even when Ace does something dog does something or Jake does something, it's always my fault. So,
okay, well, we have a separate issue with Jake that we can get to later. Jake is so Team Lindsay when it's just me and him. And then the second we're in front of you, he flips a switch on me and his Team Garrett.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
because he feels bad for me.
Jake?
He feels bad. It's a sympathy agreement.
I don't know. We're going to have to dive deeper into that another time because I'll be there and I'm like, that is not what you just said in the car. Like the time that you woke me up to say that we needed to get an air rifle.
Because we had rabid raccoons running around our house attacking our
dog.
But
why did you have to wake me up?
Because I knew if I went and purchased it without at least running it by you, that would be a bigger issue. So
they're both issues.
Right. It was a lose-lose. So
yeah.
I mean, just but the raccoons are gone. So
don't
that's,
wake
that's
a seven-month
the...
pregnant person
up. I mean, I'm sorry you only got 11 and a half hours of sleep instead of your full 12, so
we'll come back to that one. Has there been an argument so intense that that made you contemplate divorce?
Honestly, no. I don't think there's ever been anything that's put my mind there. Like I said, you know, I can get emotional at times, but that thought has never really crossed my mind of completely calling it quits and kind of walking away from everything in general.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, I mean, we've gone through some dark, dark, dark times in our relationship.
Okay, that's a little dramatic.
No, it is. I mean, when I got accidentally pregnant 3 months after Ace was born and you made the decision for me that I wasn't keeping the baby, it took me a little while to think through my thoughts, but I was so angry that you were telling me what I was going to do. And everyone in this room knows that I don't like being told what to do. Everybody knows that. So I was so triggered by you telling me what I was going to do with my body that I was so, I remember I couldn't even look at you. But one thing I've known about my relationship with Garrett is we've never not slept in the same bed because of a fight. Mm-hmm. We'd never, like, we might have gone to sleep mad, but have woken up in the morning saying, I'm sorry. Or we've talked it through, or it's taken a couple days to like process how we both have been feeling, but we've never slept separately because of a fight.
Yeah.
We've attempted, but then we always are like, we always threaten it to each other. We're always like, I'm going to go sleep in the guest room. And then you're like, well, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And then it somehow brings us back.
Yeah.
To sleeping
I think
together.
If you try not to go to sleep mad with the other person, you know, it helps. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, because you wake up in the next morning and like I said, you're kind of more rational and, you know, at least being there with your partner and kind of trying to work through it makes all the difference. Just kind of showing up.
So you've never contemplated divorce?
No. Have you?
No.
Do we want to put a lie detector test on you in here? Jake, do we have them coming?
I haven't. Listen, I forget who told me this advice. If it's not you, I'm going to have it like no relationship is perfect. So if I'm with someone else, I'm probably also still going to have things about that person that I don't like or that bother me or love languages don't align. But a psychic told me you and I were twin flames. So I'm just going to stick
with
that.
I mean, you got to believe everything the psychic tells you.
Obviously.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Logic.
Psychics are everything.
Exactly. I think you go to one every other week just to hear what
okay,
you want to hear.
Okay, relax. I've seen two.
in the last month.
No.
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 Oh, okay.
I don't know why you're shitting on Blair the psychic because Blair the psychic said that you have a really successful deal coming up and she's only said nice things about you.
I'll take
so
it.
Let's backtrack
All
and
right.
support this
I,
new
I apologize.
Journey.
I yeah. apologize, Blair.
That's what I thought.
There we go.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411 and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
Was there a day that you ever doubted my pursuit of Set Active?
I can say absolutely not. I have maybe I'm not as vocal about it all the time, but I'm definitely your biggest advocate. I know how hard you work, and when you put your mind to something, you will continue to pursue it until it is successful. So I never doubted your ability. I'm surprised at how big it's grown in such a short amount of time and where you've been able to take SetActive, but I never doubted your ability to make it into something, you know, special.
What about when I was in $20,000 credit card debt?
You know, that was very stressful, but still, I knew you would figure it out and you would work your ass off until you figured it out and you just wouldn't quit. And, you know, that's also from having known you for so many years before you started this endeavor. You know, your personality, like I said multiple times, you're very, you know, hardworking and passionate, and, you know, you're a go-getter. And so you would make it work one way or the other. And that was a risk I was, you know, willing to take and be supportive of.
Yeah, I don't know what else I'd be doing.
Yeah, you know, the corporate world doesn't really suit you, so you definitely like to be your own boss and tell other people what to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Has seeing the success of the brand and how hard I work and, you know, what I bring to the table, whether it means monetarily or supporting our family, has that ever made you feel insecure?
No. I mean, I like to think I'm fairly successful at what I do on my own right. And, you know, I think if anything, you know, I'm a very competitive person. You're a very competitive person. And I think it pushes us to be better. But I don't think I've ever felt insecure that, you know, you're having a successful career. And, you know, because we share that in our relationship together. So I don't think I've ever been insecure about that.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think you've shown.
Do you think otherwise? Or
no.
Okay.
I don't think so at all. I don't know I'm like trying to think of like what that would look like. But I don't think you've been insecure. It's a good question. Moving right along to parenting. I think Garrett and I both realized in our relationship that we are now each other's family.
Mm-hmm.
And
we still have family, but
we still have family. But I mean, like, we have issues with them. We do.
I mean, who doesn't at the end of the day? But
ours are a little bit different than most.
Yeah.
This is Ready, Set, Spill, Garrett. You gotta own up to it.
I'm an open book here.
Are you?
I am.
So
within reason.
Okay. Well, I won't take it there because I feel like I'm gonna get in trouble later.
Let's not do that. Let's not have an argument that we just said we weren't gonna have that we gotten so good at avoiding.
Well, I do think that we've just, you know, adopted the thought that we are now each other's family and we're building our own family and we're not gonna make the same mistakes that both of our families have made.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of the pros and cons of, you know, we get to kind of do whatever we want and we kind of get to build this, you know, life and parent how we want to, and we can kind of use past experiences to shape that and take the good and kind of try to avoid, you know, some of the downfalls and kind of make it our own. And so far it's, you know, it's working for us.
Do you think that you're going to parent Ace differently than how you're going to parent? I was about to
baby
say
number
her
two.
Name.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was waiting for you to slip on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you know, I think personalities are going to be very different. And so I think that will definitely have
a role. Are you excited for a girl?
It's going to be a different, you know, I have no idea. I didn't have a sister. I've only had, you know, I have one brother. So, you know, it's exciting, but, you know, it's going to be a whole new learning curve. And so we'll see. I think each, you know, we'll have the same principles, but maybe this way you know, deliver certain, you know, things to kids can be different depending on how they act and their personalities.
Right now we're dealing with Ace and how impatient he is.
Yeah, I wonder where he gets that from.
Oh, Ace is 1,000%.
He might look like me
in boy form,
but he's got your personality.
He is me in boy form.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked. I am
that
scared.
That was your dream.
Yeah, I manifested that.
You
I
did.
Think he is my little buddy. What's a fight that you see upcoming in the future?
We don't want to go there. I mean, I already know.
I already know what
be.
It is.
It's
I want
kid
three
number,
kids, and he wants
kid number
two.
Three. I'm quite content after two. I think we tackle two and, you know, reevaluate. But Lindsay,
I'm fine to reevaluate
dead,
in a couple
dead
years.
Set on having three kids.
I'm fine to give my body a break. I've been pregnant for two consecutive
literally,
years.
Literally.
So,
and you constantly forget how miserable it makes you during your pregnancy. I know you enjoy it, but you block out. All the
which is why I'm down to take a couple right. years and then have another one.
We'll see.
That's going to be our
That's
biggest
gonna
fight.
That's going to be our biggest fight in the
it
future.
It for sure will.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll make us like contemplate divorce,
no.
but we're going to have to really work through how we're going to communicate the end result of this.
I've wanted three my whole life.
Three's my lucky number. Three just makes sense to me.
We've got three kids already.
Okay.
You keep forgetting Leo.
I mean, he's
going to be so distraught when he hears the podcast that you constantly forget.
Make sure you get special headphones for Leo. Special headphones to listen to podcasts for Leo. My dog. Leo the dog. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. What values are you looking to instill with our family?
The biggest thing is kind of just, again, honesty, integrity, you know, putting others first, being respectful.
I can teach them that.
Yeah, you can definitely teach them that.
I would say traditions.
Making our own special traditions, which is kind of the other nice thing. Again, you know, you come from a very different religious background than what I come from. And so we kind of get to create our own traditions, especially around holidays, you know, Christmas.
Well, I want to go on a family vacay every year.
You go on family vacations at every chance you can get. So yeah. I think I've had three planned. Except for the snow. Not a big fan of the snow.
I'm planning a snow trip.
I know, after much, you know.
You can thank Alyssa for that one and Steve.
We'll thank Alyssa and Steve for that one.
Yeah.
Finally.
Basically, Ace's second set of parents.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool getting to establish our own traditions and making it unique to our own little family that we have growing.
Yeah. I think making sure when the kids get older, I definitely want to do some sort of like Sunday, like family day.
Yeah. Or like, you know, dinners every Friday night before they go out with their friends and, you know, go off and have fun.
Okay.
You know,
so we're aligned there.
Things like that. I think we're aligned on most things. I think it's just the delivery of how this.
So Ace is 16.
Uh-huh.
We both find out that he snuck out of the house to go to a party.
Okay.
He comes home drunk, although the psychic said he's not going to be very into alcohol. So
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see. We'll come back to you guys in.
So how are we dealing?
14 years.
We're role playing right now. So how do we deal with that? Now it's next morning. We found out.
My biggest.
How are we going to handle this?
Did he do it responsibly? Right? Did he go out into the party? Did he not drive home drunk? You know, I think that would be my biggest. You know, concern is him at least doing it in a responsible way. You know, I think we're both pretty understanding, you know, cool parents in the future that.
Oh, I am so
cool. You really want to be that. So we'll see. But I think if it just, again, the honesty, just being open and I think we would be more open to allowing him to do those things if he just.
Well, if he was like, Mom, can you drive me to this party? I'd rather drive him and pick him up and stay awake.
I'm sure he would not want you to pick him up from a party. That's not a very cool mom thing to do. Just so you remember that.
Oh, like, what if it's down the block?
Right, exactly. This is why he's sneaking out. This goes back to the question of why he's sneaking out, because. You want to drop him off at a party and he's embarrassed to be dropped off by his mom. So maybe you shouldn't do that and then he won't sneak out of the house.
I'm nervous to become a girl mom because of my relationship with Ace. Like we are each other's like best friends.
Yeah. I think you have a very special relationship with baby girl.
Were you about to say her name?
I wasn't. I'm mentally catching myself from saying her name, but it'll just be different. I think you'll have a unique relationship with both of them. They'll have their own special moments.
Yeah. Ace is he's my whole world, that boy. I love him. What's been the most difficult part about becoming a young parent? I mean, for me, it's been like balancing a social life.
Yeah.
I have such bad mom guilt. You know, if on a weekend a friend wants to go to brunch with me, but I know that Ace is home and I don't have work, like I struggle with saying yes because I feel like I want and need my time to be with Ace when it's available and free. That's been the hardest part for me. But I don't know if that's being young parents. I've always wanted to be a young mom. In fact,
you would have had kids years
at 25.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also, as the generations have changed, this is technically considered old for having kids. I mean, my grandma and grandparents had my parents when they were like 20, 21.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I think the biggest change for me is just, again, kind of that social life and, you know, being a little bit more of a...
You still get to do a lot of what you want to do.
No, of course. But it being a little bit more of a kind of like a homebody, you know, it is interesting because we have kind of two different groups of friends. We have our, you know, parent friends and then we have like our friends who are single. And so kind of navigating and kind of, you know, having people who don't have kids understand, you know, what comes with having kids is kind of an interesting way of kind of navigating. And so it's kind of nice to have people that can relate and have kids and understand where you're
and now we have
with
some friends who are starting to like want to start a family and have kids. Like, I know a lot of people are very excited to listen to this
one. I'm very nervous for this one.
Why? I think it's
I think so far so good, but we'll see. We'll see what you're...
You want to put me in the hot seat? You want to ask me anything?
I didn't come prepared with any questions.
Oh.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into, so... I didn't know I could do that.
You can ask me anything you want.
If I think of something, I'll flip the table.
What's your favorite thing about Ace? I'm so excited for this answer because it's also going to probably mean his favorite thing about me because Ace and I are the same.
I like that. I mean, I like his little personality. He's got such a great little personality.
He's sweet. He's very a sweet, sweet boy.
He's very smart. I love that he already loves sports. You know, I don't have to push him into that. I mean, he's obsessed with any type of ball, soccer balls, basketballs, loves lacrosse sticks. I mean, he's already got that covered. So, I mean, there's not a lot that I can fault the kid on. I mean, come on. He's a product of me, so.
Right. Right. I can never forget that. Are you nervous for labor number two? Andre's coming to the house today.
A little bit. I mean, it's never, even after going through it the first time, it's always a little nerve-wracking just because, you know, there's so many things that could happen unexpectedly.
Well, like a lot of people know what happened with
Ace. The first
Ace.
Time that was a little traumatic.
His
but at
heart
least,
rate dropped basically in labor.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the nurses had to press a button.
And like 50 people came running
50 people came rushing
in.
Into the room.
I'm sitting there on the chair going,
they're screaming. They're like,
the
put her
happening?
On all fours. Put her on. And I'm looking at Garrett. Garrett's looking at me. We have no idea what the fuck
headlight.
Is going on.
No one's explaining
Someone's
anything.
Someone's putting a shot in my arm.
Yeah.
I have one nurse at the edge of my bed saying, stay calm, stay calm. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. But everything obviously was fine. But that was definitely a nerve-wracking moment. I also didn't know how long labor actually takes. That was very new to me. Obviously, you got induced, so it takes a little bit longer. But I mean, you know, we were there 9 o'clock, you know, on a Thursday, and he was born at
next day,
like 9:30. Yeah. So I didn't know it was like a whole
16th.
day process. I didn't know we'd be spending the night there, and so now I know I at least have that, you know, going into it and what to kind of expect.
What are you most nervous for? Having two kids,
just the added level of kind of chaos. I know you thrive in chaos. It's just going to be different, you know. I feel like, at least for me, just starting to kind of get the hang of having one kid, and so throwing another one into the mix, there's just going to be that much more that's kind of going on, and it's obviously going to be amazing. But I think that's the biggest thing that I'm kind of nervous about is just having something else to kind of take care of and, you know, deal with.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I know.
I'd have like five kids
you
if
would.
I could. What do you look forward to most as our family continues to grow?
Just like I said, building, you know, traditions, being a part of, you know, their school life, you know, sports. You know, I'm super excited for, you know, them getting into sports and waking up on Saturday or Sunday mornings and going to games and, you know, those special moments and taking them.
Cutting orange slices for snack time.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, taking them, you know, to, you know, amusement parks or, you know, museums or things like that, just different activities. I think that's what I look forward to the most and having those special moments. You know, something that I did with my parents, you know, was, you know, on weekends, you know, my dad obviously doesn't sound that great anymore, but he would take us to Home Depot and, you know, we would go and do all of, you know, he did all of his yard working stuff and his little, you know.
That will be something we don't partake in.
Exactly. But then after we would go and get McDonald's and it was like a fun little thing. And then he would take us to, you know, like Fiddlesticks or Cracker Jacks. And it was just kind of spending those like little fun outings with your parents and kind of making those weird but special memories is something that I kind of am looking forward to.
Okay. Well, we'll have to connect on what the weird memories are just to make sure that I am aligned.
Right. These are things that I'll be doing. You'll be doing your own thing. You know, it'll be fine.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, you survived the podcast.
That was it?
Well, I mean, I'm happy to ask this question again because it's so nice to hear everything you love about me. But it says, reflecting back to your beginnings as a couple, what do you admire most about me?
What do I admire most about you?
Kaylin's signaling that it actually says one another, but we can do me.
Yeah, thanks, Kaylin. I appreciate that. Thanks for looking out. I mean, you're just a big supporter of whatever I do, and that's something that I will cherish till the end, is that you're always by my side, and you always have my back, and you're an advocate.
Almost to a fault sometimes. Gary gets mad if I get it. Like, if you come to me and you're like, so and so did this or this happened, I'm like, I'm calling them, and that's so not okay.
Yeah, exactly. So
to an extent, be careful what you say. Yeah, I'm protective.
Yes, you're very protective, and I appreciate that. So that's something that's been since day one. Even when you took care of me with chicken pox.
Yeah, I think that's what made you fall in love.
You know, it definitely showed me your true colors.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I slept there. Yeah. I made sure you didn't itch.
You made a special oatmeal, a giant bowl of
oatmeal scrubbed it on your body.
Yes. That was.
I really went balls to the
walls. You went above and beyond. So I was like wifey material.
Garrett got the chicken pox in college.
No idea how.
We don't know how.
Probably from going to the disgusting rec center.
Yeah.
Touching all the nasty weeds.
At U of A, as you know, Caitlin, because you went there. And all these, I have had the chicken pox when I was little, but I also have the vaccine. So I think I was like double immune to it.
This was before we were dating. This was just.
We were definitely hooking up at this point.
Yeah, but there was no titles.
There's no titles.
Maybe we were exclusive at the time.
I don't remember. But he got the chicken pox and I dropped everything. And I was like, well, I have to make oatmeal.
Massive bowl. The biggest bowl of oatmeal. I think she bought all the oatmeal at the grocery store in Tucson, Arizona, and came over.
Okay, but your roommate Steve was like, oatmeal doesn't even relieve itching. He said something, I don't remember, but that I slept over with you to make sure you wouldn't stay up and
constantly yell at me and make sure
stop touching, stop itching. Yeah. And that was just the beginning of it all.
Yeah. You've seen me at my worst, so it can only go up from here, right?
What is one piece of advice, whether it's in relationships, in life, in general, that you want to leave with my listeners?
One piece of advice. I think it's being communicative and making sure that you're very clear and concise and you're open.
Oh, does he sound like me, you guys?
Do you say this?
Every single day.
I mean, hey, it works for us. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's just
over communicate
and, you know, explain where you're coming from, because people aren't mind readers. So you might have an idea or know where you're coming from, but someone else doesn't. So just be over communicative and explain everything, and you can never go wrong.
Well, that officially wraps up having my husband, Garrett Carter, on Ready, Set, Spill.
Probably be the last time I'm on the podcast.
No, I think people will enjoy it. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to leave a review, because Kaylin will pick people, hand select them, to add to our PR list for community gifting. If you guys want to follow Garrett, although he does not post on Instagram ever.
I'm very bad at this.
Follow me if you want to follow Garrett.
Yeah. You probably get more content from Lindsay of me than me posting content of myself.
I think
myself.
The last photo Garrett posted on Instagram was our wedding, which was 3 years ago.
Yes.
Unless you're at a sports game, you'll post that on your story.
Or like a good beach picture, like, you know, something like that.
He tries to get artsy. It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
We're figuring it out.
All right.
I don't know where to point you guys. If you need to rent, sell, buy your house.
That I can do.
That he can help you with. That's about all I can offer up on the services for Garrett. Well, I love you.
Thank you
for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
That's it.
It's been a pleasure.
We did it.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.